Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Mighty God. I heard a true story this week about a Sunday school class. It was the Sunday before Christmas, and the children were bringing Christmas gifts to their Sunday school teachers. And one little girl brought her gift very nicely wrapped and handed it to a teacher and said, "Here, someone gave this to my mommy and she didn't want it." And, you know, God has given the world a gift and some don't want it. It's a gift of a child, of a son. And maybe some people don't want him because they really don't understand who this child is. Excuse me. You may have heard about a time when Jesus was hanging out with his disciples. And he asked them a question. And the question was this: who do people say that I am? It's an important question to ponder for ourselves. But basically what Jesus was asking them was, what's the word out on the streets about me? What are people saying? And people were saying, who is this guy, Jesus? Is he a teacher? Is he a prophet? Is he a rabbi? Is he something more than that? Is he something less than that? And so his disciples begin to tell Jesus, well, what the people on the streets are saying about him. And he said, well, some people believe that you're John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist by that time had been killed. Herod had ordered him to be beheaded. But some thought, well, maybe this is John the Baptist, that he's come back. And then he said, and some people think that you might be Elijah, because the Jews believed that Elijah would come to announce the coming of the Messiah. And still others think that you're Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. That's the word out on the streets about you, Jesus. And then Jesus asked them a very important question, a question that all of us must answer. He said, what about you? Who do you believe that I am? And Peter immediately speaks up. Good old Peter. And Peter says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now, I want you to hear that. I want you to hear what Peter says about this Jesus. Peter says, now listen, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. We should probably take a moment and ponder that. What Peter says here. You're the Savior, God, the Son. And Jesus doesn't rebuke Peter. Jesus doesn't say, Peter, what are you saying? Don't say that. Don't call me God. That would be blasphemy to call me the Son of God. But Jesus doesn't say that to Peter. Instead, Jesus says to Peter, you are blessed, Simon, Peter. For just as your father is Jonah, my father is the God in heaven. And this hasn't been revealed to you by some human being. It's my Father in heaven who revealed this to you. And yes, indeed, Peter, you're right. I am the Messiah, the living God. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 13, the Apostle John writes there a title for Jesus. And he gives them the title, the Word of God. It's in Revelation chapter 19, verse 13. It says, he wore a robe dipped in blood, signifying his sacrifice, and his title was the Word of God. Of course, referring to Christ. Then in his gospel, John writes this. In the beginning, the Word, which we already established is Christ, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Christ was with God, and Christ was God. And the Word became human. The Word became flesh. In our theology, we call that the incarnation. It's the greatest miracle that God has ever done. At least that's my opinion. You know, some people think that the resurrection of Jesus was the greatest miracle. I think that was a piece of cake for God. I think the greatest miracle that God has ever done is that he became human. The Word of God became flesh, and he made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, John says, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Perhaps the most important term in all of Christian theology, the incarnation. The Word becomes flesh. What a gift. The incarnation is a gift in my life. A gift in my life. The incarnation changed me. I am not perfect by any means, but the incarnation affects everything that I do. The Christmas story is a simple story about the birth of a baby. And yet, the baby being God that comes in the flesh is not simple at all. It's anything but simple. Last week, John Mercurio spoke about 700 plus years before the birth of this child, before the birth of Christ, that Isaiah writes this prophecy. Actually, the Holy Spirit inspires Isaiah to write this prophecy about a child that's going to be born. A child of miraculous birth, born of a virgin. The child who is a son given to us, and he would have all authority. A child with a miraculous nature, for he will be called the Mighty God. This infant would be humanity's greatest child and God's greatest gift to humanity. The long-awaited Messiah would be born. And where would he be born? Some castle someplace in the best neighborhood? No, he'd be born and grow up in some dark surroundings, the dark surroundings of Galilee. Isaiah says this, chapter 9, verse 2. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in the land of deep darkness, a light will shine. And Matthew, in his gospel, specifically states that this prophecy from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, was fulfilled in Jesus. It's in Matthew chapter 4. And so 700 plus years, 700 years later after Isaiah gives this prophecy, Peter recognizes that Jesus fulfills that prophecy. Now Isaiah actually gives four titles. He gives this child four titles, each one rich with divine symbolism. The child's name expresses his marvelous nature. Last week, John Mercurio told us about the first title of this child, the first name that Isaiah gives him, as if Isaiah is naming his own children. He names this child that's going to come. And the first name that he gives him is Wonderful Counselor. He is the wonderful one who is a wonderful counselor. And Isaiah is expressing that this child, because he is God, because he is divine, this one that we now know to be Jesus, because he's divine, he's a wonderful counselor. Because God knows all things. And why would we not trust an all-knowing, an all-loving God to be our counselor? The term is omniscient. He knows all things. Why would we want him? Why would we want to know this wonderful one? Paul writes in Colossians 2:3, Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And we'll find that wise counsel in his word, the Bible. Jesus is the word of God made flesh. The Bible is the word of God written. And that's where we'll find his wise counsel. Well, the second title that Isaiah gives to this Messiah or Christ, same word. Christ is the Greek translation of the Hebrew word Messiah. Both words mean the anointed one, the one that God promised would come to save us. And the second title given to this anointed one, we already said, is Mighty God. And it suggests a divine warrior. Someone has called him the hero divine. He is the all-powerful deliverer, a champion. And he would have superhuman abilities, not simply because the Spirit of the Almighty God would be upon him with an anointing, but because his very nature, the very nature of deity, would reside in him. In verse 6, the Hebrew word that is used, that Isaiah uses here, is El Gabor. God Mighty. El Gabor. The God Mighty, the God Powerful, the God All Strong and Powerful God. The divine attribute here is omnipotence. And Jesus of Nazareth is the only one who fulfills this attribute. The word El in El Gabor, it means God. And it always means God, especially the Almighty. The child would be divine, almighty. Romans chapter 1, verse 4. And as to his divine nature, talking about Christ, as to his divine nature, according to the Spirit of holiness, was openly designated the Son of God in power, in a striking, triumphant, and miraculous manner, especially by his resurrection from the dead, even Jesus Christ our Lord, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Jesus Christ, Messiah, came to give his life for the world. That's the true meaning of the season. God coming in the form of Jesus Christ to give his life for our sins. That's the true reason for the season. Remember when the angel appeared to Joseph? This is what the angel says to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The very name Jesus means the Lord saves. And the name Isaiah means the eternal one is salvation. And so in a sense, Isaiah is kind of using his own name as a play on words. the eternal one, is salvation. He says, this child that's to be born, he is the mighty God, the all-powerful deliverer, the divine warrior, the hero, the champion who will come and fight for us. He is the mighty warrior who fights for us. He did battle on the cross, Jesus. And he was victorious. The Lord saves. The eternal one is salvation. This is mighty God. This is El Gabor. This is Jesus. Divine warrior who defeats all of our enemies. Sin, death, the devil. And all must put their faith in this eternal one, this Jesus who forgives our sins. For he alone is the Savior. But not only is he a spiritual deliverer, forgiving our sins, he can deliver us from any trouble that we might find ourselves in. If he came only as a spiritual deliverer to forgive our sins, wouldn't that be enough? Wouldn't that be enough? Wouldn't that already be more than we deserve? I mean, isn't that really all we really need from him, is to be our spiritual deliverer, forgiving our sins? But praise God, he does more. He saves us, he delivers us from everything, all kinds of things that we can face in this life, no matter what we have to go through in our life. Gene just whispered to me a little while ago that his mom just passed away a few days ago. He is our refuge, he is our strength, and he is always present when we are in trouble. He delivers us from all needs. He not only is our wonderful counselor who gives wise counsel, he is also our mighty God who can carry out his wise counsel. What are you going through right now today? And are you starting to grow weary or lose heart? Are you facing some seemingly insurmountable difficulty, some impossible situation, whether in a relationship or some other circumstance? What are you currently facing? Whenever God allows an experience to come into your life and you start to think, this is too difficult, I can't deal with this, I'm getting too weary, I want to give up, here's what you need to remember. It's in Hebrews chapter 12. Run with endurance the race God has set before you. We do this, here's how we do this, by keeping or fixing our eyes on Jesus, the champion, the warrior, the hero, who initiates our faith and perfects our faith. Because of the joy waiting for him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. And now he is seated in the place of honor beside God the Father's throne. Now listen, because this is what you need to know if you're becoming weary in the things that you're facing. Think of all of the hostility that he had to endure from sinful people, and then you won't become weary and give up. The Greek word that he uses for keeping your eyes on Jesus or fixing your eyes on Jesus literally means to turn your eyes away from the things nearby and instead steadfastly fix them on someone else, or in this case, someone else. One of the best ways you can fix your eyes on Jesus is by meditating on the multiple truths that are inherited in the name of the Messiah that Isaiah gives to us. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. As Jeremiah testified in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 6, Lord, he said, there is no one like you, for you are great and your name is full of power. May God, our Father, enable us by His Spirit of grace to turn our eyes away from the difficulties and instead focus on the Messiah who has this great name, El Gabor, Mighty God. His name is full of power. Amen. Just saying the name of Jesus makes you feel power. You can feel it. Indeed, this great name, El Gabor, is for all of us in great need. He is now and forever Mighty God, the one who will eternally be mighty to save. My favorite verse in the Bible, I think, my favorite verse in the Bible is from Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. Here it is from the New Living Translation. For the Lord your God is living among you. He is mighty Gabor. He is mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love he will calm all of your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. I want to come back to that verse in a moment. Adrian Rogers writes about a story that Robert Louis Stevenson tells. And the story that Robert Louis Stevenson tells is about passengers who are on this ship, and there's a severe storm, and they're in danger of sinking. And there are passengers that are below deck, and they're whispering to one another, are we going to go down? Are we safe? And one of the passengers just can't take it anymore. And he says, listen, I've got to go find out. And so he makes his way topside. It says going across the heaving decks. And he goes to the pilot house, where the pilot of the ship has his hand firmly on the wheel. The pilot has his hands firmly on the wheel. And the pilot turns, and he saw the fear in that passenger's face. And he just smiled at him. Without a word, he just smiles at him. And the passenger goes back. And on arriving below, the once fearful passenger says, we're going to be all right. I've seen the face of the pilot, and he smiled at me. This is what Robert Louis Stevenson says. Our pilot has his hands firmly on the wheel, and I have seen his face, and he smiled at me. We're going to be all right. What we need to do when we're crippled by fear, caused by all kinds of difficulties, and all kinds of circumstances, is don't look at the waves, don't look at the storm, but look in the face of our mighty God, Jesus, the one who's mighty to save. See that reassuring smile of your Savior, who alone can calm the storms simply by speaking these words to our hearts. Peace, be still. But let me also say this, something that you need to remember. That while our mighty God may calm storms around us, more often he calms the storm in us. Adrian Rogers, when he writes about Stevenson's story, he says this, and I can tell you, friends, that he has sailed rougher seas than the ones that you are in right now. Corrie Ten Boom, I think I've quoted this before from Corrie Ten Boom. She said, look at the world, you'll be distressed. Look within, you'll be depressed. Look at Christ, you'll be at rest. How difficult is your difficulty? Name the mighty God. El Gabor. It begs the question, is anything too difficult for the Lord? It's in Genesis. The angel appeared to Mary and says, nothing is impossible with God. Jesus, the mighty God himself, affirms, with God, all things are possible. And Paul agrees with our mighty God. He's able to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. How? According to the power that works within us. That word for power is a Greek word from which we get our word energy. And what it's saying there is that he does more than we could even ask or think by continually energizing us by the Spirit's power that's within us. And so, as his beloved children, we too can say with Paul, Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Henry Ward Beecher said, tears are often the telescope by which men see far into heaven. May our teacher enable us to envision, to lay hold of the secret of the sufficiency of Christ and his power as we meditate on the great name, El Gabor, God Mighty. I want to go back to my favorite verse. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. What a beautiful promise is in this verse, not just for the Jews back then, but for all believers now. The prophet records that the Lord your God is in the midst of you. He's among you. And he is mighty. That word is Gabor. He is mighty to save. And he will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. The New Living said, with his love, he will calm all your fears. And he will rejoice over you with singing. Our mighty God will rejoice over you with singing. What a word that is to us. What an incredible word that is to us. God is in the midst of his people in all the majesty of his power. His presence alone ought to inspire us to be in peace, have hope, to shout for joy. We not only have his presence, but he is mighty to save. He's always saving. He takes his name from it, Jesus, the Lord saves. So let's not fear any danger that might come into our lives, for he is mighty to save. He even rejoices over us with singing. Think about that and be astonished. What an incredibly wonderful thing this is. You know, when God created all of the universe, he didn't sing. He simply said, it's very good. But when he comes, and he comes to forgive our sins, to purchase our redemption, the Trinity felt the joy and expressed that in song. Think about it. Not only do we sing joy to the world, the Lord has come, but our mighty God and Savior, Jesus, sings over us with all of his angels when we give our life to him. We who are his love, we who are his joy, we who are his rest, we who are his song. Can you imagine the day when we are all gathered around the throne of God, and the joy of the eternal mighty God is going to be so high that we're going to want to burst out in song. But before we can sing a note, God himself will burst out in an infinite, godlike song for us. That's incredible. That's incredible. And then we will finally and fully understand what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3. May you have the power to understand as all God's people should. How wide, and how long, and how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great, it is too great to understand fully. But may that immeasurable, unlimited, unconditional, deep love of God for us be our hope. And may it teach us to love God more and to rejoice in Him and to sing with Him now as we will do forever. He is El Gabor, mighty to save. He saves us from our sins and from all difficulties that come in our life. For He is the all-powerful deliverer, the mighty God. Let's pray together. Take a moment, please, and just quiet yourself in the Lord's presence. Just get together with Him. He wants to know there's someone here today. You're not here. I want to tell you something. You're not here by mistake. God wanted to reveal to you today that He wants to be your mighty Savior. And if you will put your faith in Him today, if you have never asked Jesus, if you have never said, Jesus, I know that I haven't been living as I'm supposed to, forgive my sin, come into my life, be my Savior. If you will pray that today, God and all His angels will be rejoicing over you today. And no matter what you're going through, if you could just see the face of the Savior, you'll see that He's smiling. He's got everything in control if you'll just trust Him. If you would just take a few moments to just pray your own prayer, silent prayer. Speak to the Lord. Let the Lord speak to you. Take this time to just work things out with Him before you leave here today. I'll close in just a few moments. Thank you. jail. You would stand with me. I just want to close in prayer. What kind of God? Almighty God. What kind of almighty God would give himself to become human? And to be human, that he might give his life. Because we've sinned against him, and there's nothing we could do about forgiving our own sins. And so he comes, and he gives his life to pay the penalty for our sins. Because he loves us that much. That's the kind of God that he is. And even if he didn't do anything else, we would praise him forever just for that. But as we've heard, he does more. He puts loved ones into our lives. He does miracles in our lives. He brings us through so many difficulties, and he gives us peace. This is the God that we know. This is the God that we serve. We don't understand him completely. We can't. But we know, Lord, that you love us. We know, Lord, that you are almighty. And we put all of our faith, all of our hope, all of our trust in you today. And I pray, Father, that in the name of Jesus, our Lord, that, Lord, you would bless these wonderful people, and the families that they represent. And, Lord, somehow you would break through to that one that just needs to know how much you love them, how valuable, how precious you are to them. They are to you. May they understand, Lord, how much you value them and how much you love them. Help them to understand that just a little bit, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for being with us today. I thank you for ministering to us today, speaking to us today. I pray your blessing upon us as we leave. May we go out into this world to just allow you, Lord, to live through us, just each and every day, just simply, Lord, to live through us, ordinary people, that people might know the reason that we celebrate this season. We love you, Lord. Thank you for first loving us. In Jesus, we pray these things in your name. Amen.